Good. Amen. They also fixed the men's bathroom. Not prejudice, but it was the only one that got the leaks. So those things look a lot better now. I kind of wish they could have done the whole ceiling and done away with the popcorn and all that, but save some for the future. All right. Open your Bibles to 3 John. I'm having trouble with this tonight. What did I do with my Bible? It's on the little one. I need all the help I can get up here, guys. 3 John is the last book of the Bible, right? It's not? Chronologically? That's right. It is the last book of the Bible written. Did you know that? It's probably important if it's the last one. How many verses is in it?
15.
The verses or chapters? Okay. Yeah. It's so prominent, why can't I find it right now? Okay. So I want us to look at this. I call this diving into the ministry of truth. The ministry is a little bit messy because it's all about people. And we see 4 different people mentioned in this short chapter, less than 200 words. But ministry is messy, but you know what? We're supposed to be involved in the ministry of truth. And I could have easily outlined this chapter based on the 4 different personalities that you see and just kind of done personality on each one based on what's said about them. But I don't think that's the point of the message. And so I think the point of the message is here's John, the beloved, older at this point, apostle. He's off the island of Patmos at this point. He's written all the other letters you know about except this one. And so he's older, probably toward the end of his life. He's involved in missions work. He's sending missionaries out. He may be the missions department for the church, the only church there was at the time, you know, is the missions department. And he was sending people here and there. And so they were going to the different churches and visiting around. Of course, Paul was involved in missions too in a separate direction. But same missions, but a different work. And so he was sending people out, and that's kind of the background of what we're going to see here today as John is involved with a beloved, I think probably son in the faith, Gaius, a man named Gaius. And so let's look at this together. 3 John. By the way, how many of you have heard a sermon on 3 John? A couple of people. I've never preached in 3 John. Brother Henry probably has. He's probably going, why don't they remember? Okay. It says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I would not with ink and pen write unto you, but I trust I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. Our friends salute you. Greet the friends by name. Okay. So we have this neat story about Paul writing to a friend named Gaius. And he uses some strong terms of affection. He says, beloved. He says, the one I well love. I love you in the truth. The term didn't have the same feeling that it does today. Men don't walk up and say, I love you very often anymore. And it's too bad because we do. By the way, just to highlight and embarrass some people, I watched these Pointinger brothers. I'm amazed. I really am. I've seldom in my life seen brothers that love and express their love for each other publicly without shame. And I don't think that embarrasses them at all, because I think they grew up doing that. And that's impressive to me. And it's an example to me. My brother and I grew up fighting like cats and dogs, you know. We love each other now more than we ever have. But we'd probably be a little embarrassed to express it much publicly. And that just impresses me. So anyway, I want to talk about this idea of diving into the ministry. We should involve ourselves with people whose lives bear witness of the truth of Christ. We need to involve ourselves in the lives of people that God brings in our path, that are involved in the ministry of truth, that is the ministry or mission of Jesus Christ to the world. And so that's what's going on here, and that's what John is telling Gaius to do. So, first of all, he encourages Gaius to walk in the truth, and we need to walk in the truth. Look what he says. The elder to this well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved. That's what he calls him, beloved. It doesn't have any sexual connotations at all. It just means he loves him. Like a brother in Christ, more like a son in the ministry. And so he says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. What is he saying? Look, I hope that you can be as healthy physically and financially as you are spiritually. Talking about the carnal and the natural and the spiritual. He said, I think you are a superman spiritually. I want you to be blessed in your health and your finances in that same way. If you did, you'd be a wealthy man and a healthy man. Probably he had some health issues. Probably one of the reasons he said this is because maybe he had some health issues, which wouldn't surprise me at all, because isn't it neat that God chooses the weak things of this world to impress the mighty? And so he says, I wish, and it's more of a prayer, that was the case, that God would prosper you in these other areas, as he obviously has in this spiritual area, in the area of your soul, your psuche, your soul. So he's wishing him the very best in this way. And just think, what if the Lord said this to us, you know? What if somebody says, I hope that your physical life is as strong as your spiritual life? So call the ambulance. Some people are going to have to go on life support system. Because if your physical life was only as strong as our spiritual life, some of us would be in deep trouble. So can we say that about ourselves? You know, so many of us work strong to try to bring our kids up, to make them able to handle this world and able to have a good life financially and able to have a good life in their physical well-being. But their spiritual life, they don't put that much emphasis on. They send them to church or somewhere hoping that that will happen. So, it's important to John that Gaius is a strong spiritual person. He hopes his rest of his life is as strong as that is. He goes on to say, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you." So someone had gone there, probably missionaries like they do here. You know, they're going to be going over to Asia Minor. And so they stopped by here. Actually, this probably was in Asia Minor. But anyway, they stopped by here to go on their way. And they say, "Hey, can you guys, can we come there and share about our story and our ministry and what we're going to be doing and see if your church would like to support us?" That's kind of what's going on here, just like it happens today. I don't know if it's just like, but it was something like that. And so evidently these guys had come, and when they went back to John, they said, "Hey, this guy Gaius, he's a man of God. He's a great pastor. And he loves missions. And he cared for us. He treated us royally. He gave us food to eat. He sent us with supplies on our way. He took care of us." And John took great note of that. And he said, "I rejoiced greatly with the brethren when the brethren came telling me this and testifying." That word "testify" is repeated over and over in this passage, at least five times. It's the Greek word "marturion." We get the word "martyr," which means a witness. And so you hear "testify," it's said in other ways, but that's the same word, and it means witness. They witnessed about you. They witnessed of the truth that is in you. So they saw the Bible being lived out in this guy's life. They weren't with him very long, but in the short time they were there, they said, "We saw the truth of the Word of God being lived out in his life." I wonder if people come see you and go away saying, "Hey, there's a guy that lives what he preaches. There's a lady that lives out the Word of God. The truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." So he's saying the report is true. They report that you're walking in the truth just as you do. So it was not only a report, but it was a reality. And so I think we need to look at our own lives and ask, what would it be like if somebody came to stay with us? I think we've lost something in our era of convenience. We had evangelists in the past and missionaries, and they would come. And sometimes they would stay. We would put them up at Brother Henry's house, or we'd put them up at one of your houses. And I remember stories you've told them when somebody came to go to school, and they would stay at your houses, and you got to know them, and it was more personal. And that's what ministry is supposed to be like. That's what missions is supposed to be. Now they're just a name and a picture in a magazine somewhere. And we see them briefly, we put them up in a hotel, and sometimes they like it better that way because they've got all this work to do if they're in someone's house. But it just does away with the personal touch of what we're all about. And I'm sad about that. I don't like that. I like people coming to my house like the Quisenberries. I never got to do that, but I'm saying people like them coming in, and my kids get to see them and watch how they just live. And there's something impressive about that to your children. And I would encourage you, every chance you get, if you have children, if you have children that are grown, however you can do it, get them around godly people and let them rub off on them. I think that's important. And so we need to walk in the truth as Gaius walked in the truth. And look what he says. He says in verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." Here's a guy who probably led Gaius to the Lord, and now here he is living out the truth that he's learned from John. So it's also the truth that he's begun to learn on his own from the Bible. And so here's a guy who's walking in the truth, and he says, I have no greater joy. And by the way, a preacher has no greater joy than no. Here's someone who grew up under his ministry, and now he's going out and doing it and living it and doing missions. He's doing ministry. He's doing the work that he's raised him up to do. There is no greater joy. Somebody said, there's no greater joy than to go and share the gospel with someone and see them profess Jesus Christ as their Savior. I tell you what it's like. You go and you share the gospel and you think, man, I botched that up. Would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior? Yeah. Really? Sometimes it's that way. And you go, well, because it's not about me. It's about the Holy Spirit. And they get saved. And let me tell you, when they do get saved, by the way, when they don't get saved and you shared the gospel, you've still done your job. And God sees that just as faithful as if they didn't, even if they don't get saved, because you've done what He's called you to do. The saving is up to Him. But when someone gets saved, you just feel good. It's a kind of a high. I'll admit it. It's a kind of a high. It's a kind of thing that you say, I want to do that again. You know, if you could just get it to happen once, then you go, I want to go back. It's kind of like, it's not really, but it's kind of like when you're golfing, you hit it real good. You know, 17 holes, you hit it lousy. You hit that one time, you hit it, and it's just perfect. And you, I'm going back. Well, that's kind of how, you know, this is. You witness about 10 times, and finally someone gets saved, and oh, this is good, I want to go back. But listen, that pales in comparison to someone that you have taught to share their faith, and you watch them come back and share the excitement about sharing the gospel and watching somebody get saved. That's twice as great as seeing somebody get saved. It really is. And so this is what we should strive for. But listen, we think about that in ministry, but we also should think about it in the home. I have no greater joy than all of my children, you read it, have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Sometimes that's a great joy. Sometimes that verse isn't very joyful. Because our children sometimes go their own way, don't they? And you look at the parents and you can say, you can blame that on them. And sometimes that's where it needs to rest. It's not always the case. You know, God had some prodigal children. Adam, for one. Sometimes they go their own way instead of going the Lord's way. So, we need to be sure that we do everything we can to create an environment where our children can learn to walk in the truth. When I pick up the Gleaner, or it's not the Gleaner anymore, is it? It's a missions magazine. I don't even know what it's called. Just the missions magazine. And I pick it up and I read about some people in there whose lives I got to be a part of. Mike Cross that came here is one of them. And there are others that my life is kind of entwined with there. And I see what they're doing. And I'm just a blip on the radar of their life, but it feels good that I had a little part in that. I can get on Facebook and I can look up people who are in my youth ministry and I can see where they've been bar hopping and living a wild life. And that's discouraging. But when I see one that took it and ran with it, it makes it all worth it. Well, brethren, this very short book is going to be a series, because I'm not going to preach the rest of it in 10 minutes. Let's learn to walk in the truth. And let's make it our goal that our kids might walk in the truth. And by the way, this was somebody else's kid that became his kid. Maybe it was because he wanted the Lord. Maybe it's because he took him under his wing to make a disciple of him. Maybe it was because he just took him under his wing. You can do that no matter what age you are. Are you walking with the Lord? It starts with coming to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you grew up a Methodist and realized one day when someone was preaching that you weren't saved. Maybe tonight you've realized that you need to know Jesus Christ not as a natural man and not as a carnal Christian, but as a spiritual being. So tonight, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're going to have an invitation. We've got plenty of time. We can have a 10-minute invitation. So if the Lord's touching your heart tonight, I encourage you to come down this aisle, take me by the hand. If you just need to pray with me, I'd be glad to pray with you. If you need to talk to the Lord in the altar, that's what it's for. If you want to become a member of this church, I'd be glad to share with you how you can do that. If you want to be saved, this would be a good time. Let's stand. Who's doing this tonight? Brother Phil. All right. What are we going to sing, Brother Phil?
I have decided.
I have decided. Have you decided to follow Jesus tonight?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Well, it reminds me of when my kids were little, and we were at a little church, and there were some other kids there, and man, we just wish they weren't around our kids. And we had some of the pillars of the church telling us how to raise our children. All the time I'm sitting there thinking, now I believe one of your sons is in jail and the other one is about to be as soon as they find him. So, let the Lord be your guide. For there is no greater joy than when those kids grow up to see them loving the Lord. They won't love Him the same way you did, but they're loving Him and they're serving Him and they're still faithful. There's no greater joy. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Brother Ronnie Turner, would you lead us, please, sir?